Welcome to the Authentic Beings Podcast, the show where we have authentic conversations with authentic people. I'm your host, Gabriel Rovick. What's up, listeners? I got a great guest today. He was my neighbor 12 years ago, and we're still friends today. Fa'al Ali is a single father, entrepreneur, artist, and he likes to get it in the outdoors. Fa'al is the founder and creative director of Easy Media. He recently opened his own art gallery called ELA Gallery, which is designed to support and educate artists. ELA stands for I Live Authentic, so I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Fa'al, I met you the first week you moved to Colorado about 12 years ago, maybe.
About 11 years, yeah.
Something like that.
Yep.
You were my neighbor, and since then, you've really made Colorado your home, so I'm excited for you to kind of tell your story a little bit. But can you just start off with giving the listeners a little information about yourself?
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Fa'al Ali. I'm originally from LA, but I grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Moved around a bit after a career in athlete management, and then landed here in Colorado. And like Gabe said, I moved into a condo spot, garden level, in Cherry Creek, and I was moving my stuff in, and he's like, "Hey, man, what kind of camera gear you got?" I was carrying all my, some camera shit, and he was like, then we just kind of hit it off from there, and then I've been here ever since, working in the production industry, and now an art gallery owner, and I've done a few other things in between there, but that's what I'm on now.
That's awesome, man. Well, I know you got a few businesses, but first I want to just kind of get to know about Easy Media, your production company. Can you kind of tell us how Easy Media operates and what you kind of stand for?
Yeah, Easy Media operates in mid to high-end production, content production company. So basically, we work with everybody from, you know, mom-and-pop shops to multinational corporations. You know, I've done things for nonprofits here on the east side of Denver, and I've done things for Meow Wolf and for Delta Dental, and you name it. You know, we kind of operate in that space. I try to do a really good job of scoping my projects, project by project basis, to determine what the budgets are, and I'm really honest with the clients about what I'm capable of doing. You know, there's other production companies like your own, you know what I mean, that are way beyond the level of what I'm doing, but I tried to make comparable content, you know, for an affordable price and work in campaign guidelines. But, you know, I also do things like music videos, you know, and those are the kind of things that I do for free because I need to stay connected to that community because that's how I got my start, you know. I was never really, Easy Media wasn't a thing until I won a Westward Best of award for a music video, right? I was just kind of a guy who had a camera who would just like to do things, you know? And then once that kind of became, I saw my name in the paper, I was like, oh shit, now this is real. Now I got to really start, you know, trying to find jobs and, you know, did the freelance thing for a while. And I'm lucky enough to, you know, now be kind of in the conversation when it comes to Denver production companies. So I'm thankful for that.
That's awesome. Yeah, and it seems like you really support the arts, which is cool. And that's where we're at right now is at your spot, ELA Gallery. Can you tell me a little bit about ELA and what you guys are?
ELA is a fine arts, like modern urban contemporary arts gallery. It got started because I was looking for an office for Easy Media. And then I came across this spot and it just kind of just fit. But the art gallery piece came in to play about 2 years ago when a buddy of mine, Casey Carnes, and I were taking a walk around his restaurant, the Metal Art Kitchen. And we were just looking at properties in the Rhino area. And we were talking about, you know, both our love of art and the amount of connections that we have in the art world. A lot of our friends are the guys who paint and make our city beautiful, you know, with the murals, the graffiti, even just the tagging, you know. So pretty much know all these guys. So we were like, we need to create a space to have these people, you know, really be able to sustain work outside of just painting murals, right? And have a place for them to display their artwork, because even though they do large format things, we want to be able to sell smaller works or works of all kind. And Casey and I were talking about that, and you know, he got caught up in the restaurant thing, and 2 years later here we are, you know. And I got a gallery. He's still a big supporter and a big part of, you know, the day-to-day, but it got, yeah, that's just kind of how it started. And I found the space, and I talked to my curator, Lorenzo Talcott. It just kind of fell into play. He was working for another gallery, and ended up having some things happen to where it ended up not being a good fit for them anymore, and it was just kind of perfect timing. And he already had a bunch of shows lined up from people that I knew, so it kind of was just plug and play. And now he came in here and curated. We have a lineup of amazing shows from now all the way until, you know, this time next year. So, and we've been open since March. So it was pretty cool to be able to say that we had a year and a half worth of shows planned out even before we opened our doors.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I respect the way you're supporting the artist community and trying to put money in these people's pockets. I can't believe it's pretty saturated out there. So
yeah,
it's gotta be it's a game to fight for it. So having someone like you to support is pretty awesome.
You know, that was the name of the game, is like the homies need to get paid, right? And with the extensive amount of homies that I have, you know, even if I'm getting a little bit, you know, and they're getting the majority, I'll still be able to sustain, because if the homies are getting paid, then I'm getting paid. So it's always like, that's always been the foundation of like pretty much everything and all the businesses that I run. I just want to make sure that I'm empowering people and giving people a chance to grow and learn and actually, you know, be part of creating things, no matter what level it is, as long as just on a creative tip.
That's awesome. So what is it that like makes you want to empower people? You know, not everybody does that, but what gives you that drive?
I think it was just the way I grew up. And, you know, I was raised in the Nation of Islam. So one of the things that they always say is each one teach one, you know, and that's part of the doctrine. And as I've grown up, you know, I've grown apart from that, but still those things still ring true in me about, you know, always being, if I have it, then I want to be able to say, if I got it, you got it, you know, because I'm just a community kind of guy. I'm an only child, so my family is my friends, you know what I mean, the people who I make my family. So I always try to lead with that kind of intention and lead with that kind of heart, and, you know, and say, hey, let me just see who I can put on, you know. And also at the same time, make sure that it's, you know, there's reciprocity involved, because I am a businessman, you know, like that's how I make my living. That's how I feed my son. So I've luckily been able to build relationships with these people through, you know, that type of standpoint and that type of pivot of empowerment, you know, and it's becomes going into business with each other instead of me just in business with this person, you know. And that's what I like to, you know, formulate it. It's like, let's all get money together. It's no fun eating alone, you know what I mean?
That's awesome. I see that, you know, it seems like a lot comes easy for you, because you're just out there doing a lot. You're involved in a whole bunch of different industries. It seems like you're connected in the, you know, in the business world with your you know, your production company, mm-hmm. and your agency, and then you've got this artist support company. Mm-hmm. Like, what are some of the struggles that you actually have to go through?
I mean, the struggles for me normally are just financial. Everything is bootstrapped, you know, like even through this COVID epidemic, I applied for every grant, every artist, you know, fund that they had out there, everything. I didn't get approved for anything, right? I'm watching other companies fail, you know, and I'm like, what am I doing right, you know? But the thing I'm doing right is because I'm giving people autonomy in what I'm building, you know. I'm giving them ownership in what I'm building. So as hard as I'm going for my own shit, they're going as hard for their own shit too, because it's still part of what we're doing together, you know. And so I haven't really had any, you know, struggles. I've been really lucky outside of that, you know. Even from my Easy Media, like, I don't even advertise myself. Everything that I do is word of mouth, right? And I'm at one person who 1099 is everybody's max capacity that I can do, you know what I mean? So it's not like I'm ever struggling or looking for the jobs. It's like, I don't have the bandwidth to do anymore. So it's either, do I scale up or do I just keep where I'm at and diversify into something else, you know? So I think really, you know, I see the struggles being that if I had some financial backing, which I probably don't even want, you know what I mean? That would make things a lot easier, but I'm really lucky to feel like I don't really have these struggles right now. I've come a long way. I did my struggling, you know, like I'm to the point now where I'm in my crease. I'm on my shit right now, you know, so everything is really coming easily because I put my work in, you know, and the universe is really just providing for me. And it's just really just opening its arms up and being like, dude, I feel like Neo in the Matrix sometimes, like whatever I say I want, I get, you know, but I put the work in, you know, but I just really feel like after all of the shit that I had been through years prior, like karma is a bitch. And sometimes she's a bitch on your side, you know, and she's definitely helping me out right now. So I really feel like a lot of my chickens have come home to roost, and there hasn't been too many struggles even involved with the gallery sustaining. I've got a lot of support through the community, you know, even else more so with the whole let's support black owned businesses thing, you know, that has really always been a thing for me. But now that we're getting some shine on it, like shit, I'm here. I'm in the position to catch that pass. I finished the route, you know, and if that's what the people with the powers that be are the quarterback in that play, I'm going to be there to catch it, you know. So I'm appreciative for that on so many levels, you know, and actually to have a voice now that is may or may not really get some validity. But, like, I'm really happy about all those things. So there hasn't been too much struggles lately. I've paid my dues.
Yeah, you're a powerful person. So it sounds like you got the manifestation on your side a little bit there. And I think that's awesome. Tell me a little bit more about, do you work with other black-owned businesses like on a majority of the time, or, you know, because obviously you're out here supporting all types of artists and businesses, but do you try to hire black-owned businesses as your independent contractors, or?
I think it's a numbers game, right? I don't really do the nepotism thing, you know, but when it comes to job, I hire people who are good, you know, but like at their job. But if you happen to be black, I'm going to give you the same choice. I'm going to give you the same chance that where they probably don't feel like that happens on a level playing field elsewhere, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of times it's for same Easy Media film projects. I know black folks who can shoot their ass off and edit their ass off. They don't have their own equipment because that shit's expensive. You know what I mean? I got a lot of expensive equipment. Hey, you can use it. You know, like let's get money together. But I think that working with black owned businesses is definitely something I try to keep in the forefront of my mind because, you know, being in a position to where I can empower a community that is underserved. And if I'm in a position to step up and do something, then, yeah, I'm going to treat that the same way that a lot of other cultures in America do as well. You know, I think here in Denver, it's a numbers game, like I said, because we make up 3% of the population, black folks do, in the state of Colorado. So it's not many of us here, you know. So, and the ones that are here, I know them all. And everybody's doing their own thing. And if I can plug in that play, then I will. But if not, then I'll get who's right for the jobs, you know.
Yeah.
As far as art is concerned, like this is a black-owned gallery. I really want to highlight black artists. My first show was a black artist, Jairo Vega. He's one of the most talented portrait artists in the world, large scale. He's ridiculous. You got to meet him earlier. And I wanted to make sure that I set the precedence for what type of gallery this was by having a black artist, fine artist, to be the first in here, right? So I wanted to get Thomas Detour Evans. He was currently showing at my buddy's restaurant, so it just didn't work out. But I went to Miami, and I had met him. I had met Jairo during Art Basel. I had went down there with a bunch of the artists that I work with, and we had done a few walls down there. And I met him then, and I reached out to him, and he was like, say less. And he did a show called Uppity, right? And uppity is kind of a term that was used for black folks if you were somewhere you shouldn't have been. If you were at the derby party somewhere, and, you know, you're like, who is this uppity nigga? You know, so he painted some of his uppity, the figures that he really thought that were they were uppity. And so he painted people like Mike Tyson and Grace Jones and Bruce Lee and Michael Jackson and people who were in the public eye, but were kind of like, well, this guy is going to say what he wants, you know, and do, or this woman is going to do what she wants, you know. So it was pretty dope. And not that this is only highlighting black artists, but that's just how I wanted to start it off, as being a black man.
Nice. Respect.
Yeah, thanks.
So, you know, just as we're on the topic, like, you know, obviously we're in the middle of this Black Lives Matter kind of protest and move. You know, it's been a movement for a long time, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's highlighted right now. Mm-hmm. What have you been up to? And, like, have you guys been doing any art projects, or have you been getting involved in the streets?
I'm too old to be in the streets, man. I was kicking Klansmen's ass back in the 90s. You know, I'm 42 now, so I don't do that anymore. I got to get home to my son, and they're out here killing us. So I'm not taking any chances. The way I'm trying to do it is, you know, the new wave of civil rights is going to be economic, you know. So I'm trying to make sure that, as a business owner and as a cornerstone, have a place in our community that we can say that, you know, this is real. You know, we're not just some, like, hip-hop shop. We're not just some, this is a real fine art gallery where you can come. And you may not even see any black faces in here when you come, but it's black-owned, you know. So we want to make sure that that's how I'm giving back in my community. I'm giving back, and I'm staying on the front lines by staying alive and by, you know, educating people and talking my little homies down off ledges and, you know, making my voice heard. Like, for people, I know so many people who are like, oh, well, I'm not sure how I felt, but, you know, when I open my mouth, you know exactly how I feel, you know, because I'm definitely not one to pull any punches, you know. So and I kind of, at this point, I've always, you know, had my line drawn in the sand. Luckily, my constituency is dope, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really have any people, like, I'm cleansing out my Facebook all the time, you know, because I have all these people who I don't share views with or can't have conversations with, you know. I don't have that issue, you know, even though I say a lot of shit that probably ruffles some feathers, but, you know, oh well. Like, that's just how I feel. And if you know me, and of course you do know me, you know, that's completely indicative of my personality, you know. So, and there's no harm meant by it, but I think that what these kids are out here, and everybody out here, doesn't matter if you're black, white, whatever, you're doing in the street, and, you know, the voice that's finally being heard for people who look like me and operate like me on a daily basis, you know, I think it's about fucking time, dude, honestly. So, and I'm really stoked on it. And I am being part of Denver's Black Mural Festival, put on by IRL Art in real life. My homegirl Annie Philo, and she put this together with another brother named Rob. And they are putting together a series of movable modular walls in front of the Capitol for a kind of an abatement, graffiti abatement thing. So giving people a place to actually make their messages known with art without having to deface a historic building, you know, which I thought was dope. And I'm going to be wheat pasting. Years ago when Trayvon was killed, I was in my feelings and I was angry and I wanted to make some art that, like, really portrayed what how I was feeling about where I was living at. And I had took this image of a noose. It was a photographer, a photograph of a noose, and, you know, you do Photoshop. So I kind of masked the American flag on it to make it look like the noose was tied up like an American flag, yeah. Like, you know. So I think with the I Can't Breathe thing that, you know, people are chanting now, and it's a movement because that's what George Floyd was screaming before he was murdered. But, like, a noose kind of simplifies that, and, like, America, the flag, and it's pretty powerful shit, but, you know, I'm going to wheat paste that on one of those walls right in the front, and I'm going to put some Sharpies up there. And I want people to write instances of when they felt like, whether you're black or whatever, when you felt like America or our country had been, you know, muting us or suffocating us or strangling us where we couldn't get the things out. So I want to kind of, I'm going to build some easy media content based off this wheat paste I do, sponsored by Ela Gallery, and getting all this engagement into this wall over here to see these stories and talk to these people about what they wrote down and how they're feeling about that, so they can actually leave some energy over there on those walls.
Wow. Yeah, man, I love how connected you are, and you connect all the dots from ecosystem. Your past and your businesses. You combine them all together, and the people you're around. That's awesome.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
That's, I dig that. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate it. You know,
Ela Gallery, you know, kind of stepping back a little bit, but you started, you opened your doors, you know, right before the pandemic hit. You know, that's a hard time to open a gallery, but you had a couple successful shows. But then, you know, you were able to kind of transition during the time. What were you doing then to keep the vibes going and supporting the artists as well?
You know, I think before we even really officially opened to the public, with we had some soft openings with Hyro, and that let the community know that we were here, like the artist community. And we, like you said, we opened March 7th, and the official stay-at-home order was placed on March 10th. So it was 3 days after I opened, you know. Then I did this. But when Hyro came, he had all this merch, and he had his ideas of how to make this show really expand. And so being a new business, I had set up all these new back-end e-commerce things that were for free at the time, right? Because I get a 30-day free trial for connecting the dots to my bank, to the POS, to all the inventory, and all the stuff that would normally cost you $600-$700 a month in fees, right? So when that happened, I was like, we'll just do this for the first month because it's all free, right? But then the pandemic happened, so I just opened up the e-commerce site to pretty much any artist who wanted to have a chance to sell and reproduce fine art, right? So we ended up working the back end in with a fine art reproduction company and named Like Minded Art here in Denver. And then we just kind of partner on that, and they handle the production end. And when things come up, they print them off. And now artists all over the world have these fine art prints on archivable paper with archivable ink. And a lot of these artists have never even seen their art on anything like this, right? Some of them are just, I've had to go back and forth with some of these guys, like, bring your art in here so I can take a picture of it, because you're sending me a picture with the iPhone 5S and it looks like shit and we can't produce this, you know what I mean? So I've really had to, you know, put a lot of sweat equity into it, you know, and but it's what's been keeping us, you know, afloat. And the more, like I said, the whole thing is, it goes back to the homies need to get paid, right? So I made a lot of homies by doing this and putting money in people's pockets who I've never even met, just by them sending me images, and I send you a check at the end of every month, you know, and they're like, sweet, this place is cool, you know. So now I'm building a following on that level. So once we are starting to open back up, I have a new show. Right now the show I'm currently showing is called Time Travel Makes My Stomach Hurt, and it's Julio Alejandro and Jack Esenterio. Forgive me, Jack, if I said your name wrong. And a special guest. And we ended up opening after, I think it had been a month or two of the lockdown. And I did it by just a calendar. I set it up to where people could really have an art gallery all to yourself, you know, like, and that's on some real fly shit anyway. If you could just come in and like bring your girl in here, like, baby, don't worry, I got the whole art gallery to ourselves for the next however long, right? So I did it in half hour slots, and you know, there were no more than 8 people in the gallery at a time, and people came through with their masks and their hand sanitizer, had the music playing, and people got to chill and look at art and just kind of vibe out and also buy art, which was cool. So I was selling pieces in the interim, so that helped as well, you know. So it's still like, it's still bootstrapping. I've always bootstrapped all my businesses. I've always ground from the mud. So when shit happens like this, I've been broke before. I know how to make it work, you know what I mean? So it was never like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? You know, like, I'm gonna pivot. I'm gonna pivot again, and I'm gonna hustle some shit up, because I've always been just, you know, a hustler. So I have to make it work.
Yeah, great work. I see the strength in the hustle.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, for sure. I love it. You know, kind of talking, moving away from kind of your two businesses a little bit here. I'm sure it's all connected, but you know, I know when I first met you, you had a lifestyle brand called GetItIn.com, which was kind of focused primarily on adventure. And then now you have a thing called the Adventure Club or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that, or like, you know, what kind of adventures have you been on? And I know you've done some things with Canberra Outdoors. You're an ambassador for them, right?
Well, I'm not really an ambassador for them, but I'm just somebody that they kind of use. My Adventure Club really started from, like you said, the lifestyle brand GetItIn.com, which started from me being in athlete management, right? So being where I'm from, I was afforded during my athlete management stint to be doing all kinds of things that people wouldn't believe, and being in all these situations with celebrities and like on these crazy parties because it was football players. It was like, you ever see Ballers?
Yeah.
So you know the guy's cousin?
Who, yeah, oh yeah.
That was me, except I was less of a dick.
Reggie's cousin.
Yeah. I was Reggie's cousin. So you had to push everything past me, you know what I mean? But I was just a lot nicer, you know, and had more integrity. But that's how I also started with cameras, was I would film these things all the time, and getitin.com was just something that I would, a tagline that I would have people say. And then I ended up making t-shirts, and it kind of went viral before virility was a thing. This was like right when YouTube had really just started. And I didn't want to put any of my videos on there. I kind of, you know, had them, I bought a server, right? And what I was trying to do was basically what Snapchat was, but we didn't know that in 2004, right? We just were like, oh, it's a website. But that's how the inventor part started. Because when I moved to Colorado, the type of getting it in I was doing was different, right? It didn't have anything to do with celebrities. It didn't have anything to do with partying, because that was not what the Colorado lifestyle was, which was more my speed anyway, right? I wanted to be doing these things anyway, but when I was living in Atlanta, in San Diego, in Miami, none of these things, the people I know weren't into snowboarding, they weren't into hiking, they weren't into doing anything in the outdoors. So, but when I came here and I adopted this, you know, I saw this movie called The Yes Man with Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know anybody, you know, I knew you, I met you, and you asked me to do shit. I said, yes, that was my whole thing. Like, we went on crazy bike rides and got faded at the Candlelight Inn and all kinds of shit, you know. And I would normally never do anything, those things like that, but I said yes. So that's how my love for adventure became. And as a black man, a lot of times when I would go places and I would do, you know, right now I'm a master scuba diver, which I learned to do here in Colorado, you know, at Denver Divers right up the street. I've been snowboarding, you know, for the last 15 years, you know, which I'd only done on trash hills in Michigan and pure ice before I moved to Colorado. And now I can keep up with you on skis, you know what I mean? Well, not, yeah. Probably not, but you are killing it. but, you know, the Adventure Club thing started because I just didn't see a lot of us in places, you know. Most times when I go scuba diving, I'm the only black person on the boat. Even when I go to places like Jamaica, where it's all black folks, or, you know, and they live on these islands, it's some dude from Australia who's just like, I want to move to the Caribbean, and now he's a scuba diver instructor. I'm like, dang, I would think that maybe there'd be black scuba people, but not really, you know. When I'm on the mountain, say, for instance, I ended up in Vail for Black Ski Week, and I was like, what are all these black people doing here? You know, and they were like down in the village, but when we get to the back bowls, it's just me. You know what I mean? Like, they're taking pictures down on the front. I'm like, all right, we need to get more of us involved in these things, right? So I felt like, you know, culturally, we are sometimes afraid of what we don't know, right? So if we see ourselves in those places, then we feel more comfortable to be there, right? So I was like, well, let me be the ambassador for that. Let me just show myself out here. And for the people who know me, they're like, I'm not surprised. That's for Al. But for the people who don't, they're like, oh, there's another brother out here doing these things. I always wanted to know what that is like. You know, it was like hiking. When I moved here, I had never been on a hike in the mountain. And I had met this girl named Linnea, who I was dating at the time. Or we hadn't been dating, but I wanted to date her. And she's like, you want to go on this hike? And it was like, second date. And I was like, I don't fucking want to hike, man. You know, I just want to, you know, get to know you. But I ended up going hiking. And when I got to the top of whatever summit, I think it was Mount Sanitas, and I was like, man, I was more enthralled with the view up there than I was about her. You know, I was like, shit, This was awesome, you know. And it was like a whole nother level. She was like, what about me? And I'm like, wait, hold on. This is amazing. You know, so I think that it was, you know, it was just time for me to try to, you know, interject myself into these scenarios where we're not seen a lot, you know, whitewater rafting, all the things that I do. I'm learning to surf, I'm all kinds of stuff, you know. So, and I'm seeing that now. That I started Adventure Club in like 2016, and as a result, you know, people, it's made me visible more than it has made people want to join me, right? So as a result, companies like Otterbox use me in their campaigns, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, well, I'm not a model, but I really am fucking outdoorsy, you know what I mean? So they, a couple times a year, they'll take me out to Moab or to Utah somewhere, or up in Silverton, and you know, put me on one of their phone. I'm like talking on the phone. I'm like, hey, you know, and they put me in their scenarios, but there's a level of authenticity to it because I really do those things. I'm not just some pretty face, you know, I'm really out there doing these things with or without them, you know. Same with like Camber Outdoors. Camber, that company has, you know, they put me on a couple panels and they've given me the chance to use their platform as my own to talk about the same things we're just talking about what it looks like to be Black and outdoors. You know, a lot of times, a lot of the same struggles we deal with in the city, we'll see on the mountains, we'll see in the backcountry, we'll see anywhere we're doing that. And it's, I just wanted to bring some awareness to that, not to the issues that are there, but to let other people know, like, hey, you can expect to see us here now, so get over that. And also, brothers and sisters, you can expect to see us here now, so come be part of that, you know what I mean? So they've given me a platform to do that, and they continue to do that year over year, and I'm pretty thankful for that opportunity.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So you kind of mentioned that, you know, not as many people are joining you as you're getting asked to do these things. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like a you know, a spokesperson or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But what do you think would be a solution to get more people of color out there?
I think it's a socioeconomic thing. You know, I think that when people ask me, can I come? You know, I want you to be comfortable, right? So, like, I just got back from the sand dunes on a shoot. Yeah. We were talking about that. And I get out there, and luckily I've had enough experience to know what the weather does in Colorado, right? Even though I wasn't fully prepared, but I'm like, it's June. I'm like, it's not going to be that cold. I woke up the next morning, it's fucking snow on the ground, you know? A lot of times these people of color don't have the financial means to have the right kind of gear, right? Mm-hmm. It's taken me years to amass the right type of gear, you know, or to even know the right type of gear to have, right? So we don't want to be out there on the trail in fucking Jordans, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You look stupid, you're going to be uncomfortable, you're going to mess your shoes up, and you're never going to want to do this again, right? So if, you know, I always wanted to, you, and I tried to pitch this to certain companies, but I wanted to be able to talk to companies like North Face and Patagonia and Columbia, and like, let's get some of this gear that you're not using or that gets returned or whatever. Yeah. And let's get them into these communities so these people can have these things so they can effectively participate in these things that they're selling, right? So yeah. They don't listen, but I think eventually I'm gonna try again. I'm gonna keep applying pressure, you know what I mean, and being like, hey, instead of like giving it to some random overseeing charity, like, come holler at somebody like me who knows the people in the community, you know, who knows exactly where these things need to go. I know the kids who can benefit from this. I know the children who are like, mm-hmm. I see you doing this, I want to go. And I'm like, well, you can't go in those Nike woven shoes that you got. You got to have something with the shank in it. And if you want to climb, my son wants to climb, he's 8, he wants to climb 14ers. I want to climb 14ers, but I'm not going to go by myself because I don't know how to get up there, right? I don't mm-hmm. want to put myself in jeopardy, and I don't have the right gear, right? Now, luckily, I'm in a position I can go afford to go buy it when I'm really serious about it, but for people who are, you know, like my son's age or and his friends, they would definitely go do that, and that's how I feel like it would be smart for these companies to even invest this way, because then they're building future people who will buy their products, right, if you get them involved. And that was one of the things I wanted to do with the Adventure Club too, is get young kids involved in seeing me underwater all the time. Like, you don't see Black people scuba diving in anything on TV or anywhere, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. It's like, but hey, I'm here, I am. I'm doing this shit. Like, I'm talking to octopuses and I love sharks. I got them tattooed all over me. Like, I love these things, you know? And they're like, oh my God, what do you do when you see a shark? I'm like, I'm super thankful. They don't just be everywhere, you know? If you get in the water and you see a shark, you're really fucking lucky.
Yeah.
You know? You're really lucky. So I think that getting them involved, that's how to come full circle. I think that would be the best way, is to get people of color out there, is to give them the right equipment, you know? And culturally, we love to look good and feel good when we're doing shit, you know what I mean? We don't want to be out here feeling goofy, because if we don't feel good, we don't perform well, you know? And I know there's no metrics on things like that, but that's right. Why they need people in the room who can, you know, really articulate these things to say, hey, like, I know this doesn't make sense in your fucking spreadsheet, but like, Black folks don't want to be out here looking like this. We want to have a certain level of comfort to us, you know, to where we feel good. And I think at and from the ground up point, like, just let's give some people some gear so they can get out here. Let's give them the backpacks. Let's give them the camelbacks. Let's give them the pants and the boots with the shanks and the gloves. You know what I mean? So they're not out here doing shit in jeans, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, get off the cotton.
Get off the cotton. You got to know, you know what I'm saying? You're going to be cold and wet and it sucks. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great, I think, you know, that's one step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if Kalik wants to go up a 14er, I'm down.
Cool. Take him. Go. I'm not in shape for that yet.
He probably got bigger feet than me.
He will in a minute.
He's growing up. I mean, I remember I was there when he was born. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Kalik was.
Yeah. We did his first birthday at Focus for Design. Remember that? Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. And Tyler gave him a fucking popsicle and he went nuts. Or a lollipop or something.
Oh, that man. That was funny. Well, you know, I think it's amazing what you're doing, and you got tons of insight, and it seems like you're on the right track. I can't wait to see what else you put together. But, you know, I kind of want to go to what this show is all about, and it's about authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And I know one of the meanings for ELA is I Live Authentic. Is that right?
That's right.
So what does to be authentic mean to you?
To be authentic to me means to whatever your deal is, you stand firm in that, you know. To be authentic means that you don't waver in the face of, you know, sway. Like people who you just have to, whatever you're living for, or whatever your vibe is, or whatever your mantra is, or whatever your business is, like, be that and do that, you know. And don't let anybody, you know, it's not about the in crowd. It's just about what you're about, and stand firm in that, and people will gravitate toward you. You know, if you remain true to yourself, people will always, and things will always gravitate to you. And authenticity in this world of instantaneous everything is a lost art, and a lot of people, you know, are losing who they are because they're so swayed by what media and, you know, social media and the hive mind is telling them, you know. So I think it's important to find authenticity in everything and try to, you know, keep yourself around those authentic so you can continue to, you know, build on truth.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love everybody's answers when I ask. Yeah, and so the last thing I usually do is just give us some of the people you follow, books you read, movies you've been watching, whatever you want. Just a couple of shout outs so people can get into the world of you.
I'll show you. So some of the people I follow, the things I do, you know, like if we were talking about Instagram, like one of the people I'm inspired by is my boy Jairo Vega. You know, the messages that he puts in his artwork, it's amazing. Another writer is Evan Majors. He is a writer out of LA who, you know, covers a lot about what's happening in my community, and that's dope. You can find both of them on Instagram. Jairo's is what is this?
I can just throw it.
You can throw it in there. Yeah. Sweet. I'm also, you know, like, what am I reading right now? I'm reading. I'm reading what the hell, I was sitting on my bedside and I was reading it last night. Oh, The Tipping Point.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, The Tipping Point is something I always like to keep there, you know, like the part about Paul Revere and how he was writing, telling the right people rather than just knocking on doors. Like, that always inspires me, you know. It's all about, you know, I always feel like your network is your net worth. So I'm always trying to put the right people in play, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm inspired by everybody out here, you know, really, who is out here with the Black Lives Matter movement. Like, I don't care who it is. If you're out here and you're speaking up for people like me and you're putting yourself on the line, that's inspiring. And that's who I'm trying to be around. And that's what the vibe I'm trying to go after. So one of the things that we're doing with the gallery is 10% of all proceeds that I'm doing this month and last month are going to go to bailing people out, other proceeds or other protests.
Oh,
so
yeah.
yeah, I was really inspired by everything like that, so I wanted to give back however I could. And if you're out there putting your freedom on the line and taking penitentiary chances and risking getting put on paper, like, I'll bail you out if I can, or I can contribute to that. So we'll be doing that. So come to the Ela Gallery and buy some art so I can donate to get people out of jail.
That's awesome, man. Well, thanks. I love you, Phil.
I love you too, Gabe, man. I really appreciate you having me on the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dope.
That wraps it up. Thanks for tuning in to Authentic Beings, the show where we have authentic conversations with authentic people.